Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode 97 of From Long Distance to Marriage. We're closing in on the magical 100 episode. Today we're continuing our recent series on inappropriate behaviours in relationships. This is part four. So we've done part one was subscription services such as OnlyFans, where you pay a monthly subscription to see nudes and pornographic stuff from specific people rather than what we call general porn. Part two, we were joined by Tony and Lisa from One Extraordinary Marriage to discuss emotional affairs, getting very close to people, say, at work, and how that can manifest in a relationship and the pitfalls. Part three, we discussed flirting, and these are all every other week, so if you go back 2, 4, and 6 episodes, you will find them. So today we're going to be discussing spending and money. So we've done a couple of episodes previously generally about money, how we manage our finances as a married couple, how we what suggestions we've got for other people, and it's not necessarily a one-size-fits-all, but some options for how you can do it. You know, when one person earns significantly more or less, if you want to get aligned with your goals. Today we're going to be talking more about spending secretly, hide behind each other's backs. Maybe you have had the conversations that we've spoken about previously where you have discussed your goals and what you want from the future. And when you have those goals, then, you know, you have certain behaviours that need to go along to meet them. So it could be we want to save X percent of our income or have this much guilt-free spending money every month, and one of you's going secretively.
One of you's going, nah.
What's that?
Nah. Nah, yeah. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, exactly. So one of you says, yep, you know, I know we said we'd only have £400 a month to spend on ourselves, but I'm going to splurge £1,000 on this thing I really want, because why not? So that is today.
That is today. And I think so this is a bit of a different one. It can seem really, some of the other stuff we've talked about can seem a bit more sinister, you know, emotional affairs, you know, paying to see explicit content by one specific person, and even flirting to an extent, depending on the actions taken there. This one isn't necessarily quite as sinister, but it is very serious. And I think, depending where you are in your relationship, it can be a bigger or smaller deal.
I don't know that I'd agree. I think it can be sinister.
It can, but not necessarily probably in most cases.
I mean, yeah, maybe. But if you, okay, sinister or not, the potential consequences are huge, because, you know, we're surrounded by stories of someone who's, especially when you're in a marriage, you know, when you there's entitlement to the other person's assets and things, and, you know, whoever, you know, the next person to do this won't be the first person who puts their partner in an awful lot of debt or has to force bankruptcy. Or even if you've just got a goal, so, you know, you want to retire early or you want to pay the house off early, and the other one's racking up secret debts, acting in a way that's going to make these goals completely unattainable, is forcing the other person to work longer. You know, that could cause stress. It could put them in an early grave, depending on what kind of job they've got. Maybe they can't sustain it forever. Maybe they just, it puts them, you know, they have to live a poor quality of life because of someone else's behaviour. So whether or not it's sinister, I suppose, depends on intentions, but I think the potential ramifications.
Oh yeah, and that's why I was kind of trying to say that, you know, the severity of this and the seriousness of it depends where you are in your relationship, but it has indications. So if you're just starting out, you know, you've met someone, you've been together maybe a few months, you're not living together, their spending habits don't necessarily affect you really, but it's an indicator of what they might be like further down the line. So if someone has, you know, maybe extravagant spending, or spending habits, which is beyond their means, if someone makes loads of money and they spend loads of money and they're fine, then that's great. You know, that's cool. But if, you know, if you see a trend early on that this person, I'm going to struggle to make my rent this month, but you know that they were at boozy brunches all throughout the month, going on holidays, things like that, or whatever. It could be gambling problems. I mean, that's a whole nother thing to go down. Yeah, it's not going to necessarily affect you. I mean, you can't pay your rent or your bills or that you can't save, but when you do share finances with that person, it's something to consider. Now, the other end of the spectrum is exactly what you were saying. You know, if you're married, one person is completely throwing your financial goals out the window, and maybe it's bad investments, maybe it's just frivolous spending, racking up credit card debt, whatever it is, it's an issue. And we had a recent episode about, so yeah, we've done a couple episodes, like you mentioned, about finances for couples. And then we also had a recent one, which was aligning your future goals. So both of those are going to be relevant to listen to, and we'll put the links for those in the show notes. But it is kind of hard to expect someone to respect your financial goals or kind of adhere to what you want to achieve financially if you haven't talked about it.
Well, and also before we get into that, this goes both ways. This isn't only about extravagant spending. There are, you know, some people's money habits are such that they won't spend anything.
Yeah.
And you hear about people who earn a lot of money and they won't spend anything. That can cause its own stress, because then maybe there's deprivation here. Like, we can't even go on a mid-tier holiday,
mm-hmm.
because they're scared of spending money. And you know, so the idea of spending and causing problems is secrecy with going overboard is one. But I think the other end is it's much more in the open.
Yeah.
But you know, and you see it manifest in all sorts of different ways, like penny pinching at every opportunity, or you know, not even wanting to go out, you know, over the weekend and go and see a movie, or maybe you're really tight when it comes to birthday and Christmas presents. The other person never really feels gifted upon.
Yeah.
You know? And then when we did our episode on love languages, you know, we spoke about some people's love languages, gifts. So if you are that person who likes to receive, and then you're with someone who refuses to give because they're terrified of, you know, losing all their money or something. And this is the thing about, this is the difficulty here is, you know, we're not saying any of this is just stuff people need to get over. A lot of this stuff is deep-rooted.
Yeah.
If you've grown up hard, you know, in poverty, or you maybe started to grow up quite well and then lost everything, you know, you can easily see how that's going to translate to you wanting to hang on to every penny you've got.
Yeah.
Equally, you know, people have the same scenario but the opposite effect, where they said, you know what, money came and went when I was growing up, it means nothing to me, I'll spend it, I'll be happy, you can't take it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think the most important thing here is to try and reserve judgment, have some empathy for where this has come from, and sometimes this is going to be a compatibility issue.
Yeah.
It's not something you can either say, look, this is how I spend my money, I don't care what you do with your money, just be open and honest with me, and maybe the outcome there is you have largely separate finances. So you say, look, as long as you contribute this much to the bills, you know, I'll take care of all the savings, everything. And you know, this is one of those things where it's easier to do that when someone earns a good amount of money. If both of you earn very little, it's very difficult for one person to take up all the extra slack, because the other person really can't control their spending.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think it's also important to remember that, you know, we highlight this all the time, you're two different people. So it's going to be a difficult thing to approach if you do have very different visions. But you need to find something that's a bit of a common ground, because, you know, all being well, if you're married, for example, and, you know, perhaps this is happening early on in your marriage, hopefully you'll be retired together. You know, hopefully your marriage will last, you know, forever, and that's what you'll go through together. But, you know, it's easy to be short-sighted or when you're younger and think, oh, it doesn't matter. But if one of you is very pragmatic and is wanting to plan for the future, and your days when you're not working and still bringing an income, you know, it's okay to an extent to not worry about it yet, but you do need to think ahead, and you need to respect the partner that maybe wants to start squirreling money away for the future. So you don't have to agree on everything, but there does need to be some middle ground. So maybe you're more happy to go out and spend your money on the things like going out, you know, buying more, you know, fancier gifts or things like that. And then maybe the other person feels, you know what, I don't want to do that. You can do that for us. And the money that I would otherwise be spending on us, it's going to go into the savings or whatever.
Yeah, and that's why it's important to have goals, because it always feels...
Shared goals, yeah.
Yeah, because it always feels like punishment if you're just doing something that's against your nature for no perceived reason. If you say, look, this is the goal, then there's a reason. And the other thing that's really important is, you know, it's very common for people to feel like the way you are is just the way you are. But mm-hmm. we can change. And, you know, you have to want to change. But, you know, it's that thing, oh, were you a spender or a saver? That it's kind of nonsense because you can change.
Yeah.
You know, you people who are more inclined to spend may not necessarily appreciate the value of saving, like the power of saving early and how much it can change your life down the road, you know. Or people who save too much may not appreciate the joy that you can get from actually treating yourself once in a while and yeah. treating the people around you. And actually, are you making people miserable by denying everything all the time? You know, either of those are extreme, and in the middle is that happy medium, but you can get there. So this whole thing of, oh, well, I just like to spend, that's just who I am, like, it's just an excuse. You may need a reason, but there's any number of good books out there that, you know, demonstrate this, or just practice, or just think it means so much to the other person. And if you really look at yourself, do you think, actually, do you know what, do I always want to be living this way? Is this yeah. the relationship to money that I want? Do I always want to be worrying at the end of the month? Or do I want to die with 10 million in the bank and no one at my funeral? Like, you can look at it either way, but you can change it.
Yeah. So I think let's kind of start digging into the nuts and bolts of this. So why is it inappropriate to not be aligned on your spending, or to kind of have an agreement and one of you not stick to it, or be secretive?
Well, there are two separate things. I think the first one is, why is it a problem to not, why is it inappropriate to not have a goal? I don't think it's necessarily inappropriate, but you're going to be pulling in two separate directions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like if you imagine two dogs on one lead and they're going in separate ways, it's a fight all
cat dog.
The time. Cat dog, yeah. It's always a fight. You never, like, and the only, if you listen to our episodes and argument, this is a good example of this, because that's when it just becomes a battle of the wills. And you dig your heels in, and it's, I want to go this way, or I want to go that way. And neither of you are giving a compelling reason to go either way. So it comes down to just who's more determined, who wants to give in and just have the peace. If you have a shared goal, both of you say, this is where we both want to go, this is the reason, and these are the steps to get there, then it's not deprivation. You know, then it's, instead of you saving money, what you're actually saying is, I'm buying my early retirement, I'm buying yeah. my freedom. And it's a very different mentality to just, oh, I've got to save this, I can't buy that thing I want that realistically I'll forget all about next week once I've got it. The second point, why is it inappropriate to go against that? Well, because that's in the same realm as the inappropriate flirting, as cheating, everything. Because really what that comes down to is breaking trust. If you said, this is our agreement, this is really important to me, it's important to you, this is the life we want, two of you are involved there and one of you said, no, I'm breaking that and I'm going to do it secretively, you're not even going to know I'm breaking it, but we're never going to reach that goal because I'm going behind your back about it, we're just treading water, you're never going to get ahead, you are holding that person back as much as you. And realistically, it's probably being done in secret because you know that it's wrong, and that's why you're not having the conversation and saying, hey, by the way, I spent a bit much, or whatever, you know, whatever it is. Otherwise, that'd just be out in the open and you talk about it.
Yeah, and I know, I think of a, you know, family friend couple, you probably haven't heard this, but the husband was very, very strict with money, and they had a good amount of money, and potentially, I don't know the details around it, and it's not really my business, but I do know that the wife had some weird kind of, I don't even understand how it worked, but it was some scheme where she would go and buy stuff at places like Costco. So, you know, she'd go there to buy their food and stuff, but then she'd buy a lot of her clothes there. And he was really strict about how much money she spent. And so she would kind of finagle it so that she would take something back, return it, and go buy somewhere else. Don't really know how it worked, but that's inappropriate on all kinds of levels. First of all, that the husband was being so
controlling
about spending habits that she had to think up this scheme to do it. And the fact that she did that in secrecy. So it's not all her fault. It's not all his fault. But there was
whose money was it?
She didn't work.
So that's another question. Is it still as controlling when it's literally his money?
I don't know. I mean, they had children. She raised the children. So, I mean, she did her part. She wasn't, you know, just...
I think we need more details to really get into that one.
But it's just an example.
Yeah, you're right. And the secrecy's there and the controlling nature's there.
And so both people are doing something wrong. I don't, you know, it's hard to say who was more wrong and if that even matters, but it just kind of shows how these, you know, communication is key in this. Now, again, it does depend on the situation. Yeah. I struggle with what you say there, but I understand what you mean at the same time. Like, if one person's earning significantly more or doing all the earning, yeah, they have some say, but I mean, if you're a married partnership, you know, it kind of depends.
Well, all I mean is we don't know the arrangement. No. So if he said, you've got X amount to spend, and I've got, you know, that's
something. Allowance.
Then that's great. I don't think that's controlling, and she's got free reign. If he says, you've got this much money and I'm auditing the receipts and you can only spend it at these outlets, I don't want you spending it on these brands, then that's very controlling and, mm-hmm. and inappropriate. All I meant is because we don't know the nature of it.
It's fair.
You know, because you get something, I'm not saying this in relation to that person, but you get some people who have money, but, well, they kleptomaniacs. They just steal for the thrill of it.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't, I haven't heard of this story before. So I don't know, is she doing this because to her it's a fun game, or is it something she feels she has to do to get away from the clutches of her controlling husband? Like, I don't know.
No, I don't either. But
I think, it's a good example that if he's being controlling, and then actually what it leads to is her responding in an almost, it's almost parent-child. Like, there's rebellion against the rules rather than a partnership of marriage.
Yeah, so there's a lot of problems here, but there is, and not just in this scenario, but, you know, if you're being sneaky and you're going behind someone's back and spending money that you've pretty much agreed not to because it doesn't fit with the goals that you've set up for yourself, there's a trust issue that's being broken. And, yep, it's not as severe as something like cheating, but trust is so important in a relationship. And it's as simple as saying, hey, you know what? Can we talk about these money goals again? Because I'm having a hard time sticking to it, or I want to understand more about it. Talk about it. You don't need to be thinking. Obviously, if you have, I mean, kleptomania is stealing, but if you have some sort of compulsive spending issue and it's actually a psychological thing, then that this is different. You would potentially need some help and some support. But I would feel like my trust had really been broken if, you know, we talk a lot about money. Money is something we communicate about regularly, and it goes in waves. When we have changes coming, we talk a lot. We have our money meetings, which you'll hear about in previous episodes we've mentioned. And then sometimes things tick along and nothing, you know, no big spending is coming up, no home repairs, and we just truck along with our plan and it's fine. But we really communicate about it a lot. And so for us, if I found out that Rich made a big purchase behind my back, or he made a big money decision without consulting me, I would feel really betrayed in a way.
Mm.
And for us, it's different because often, you know, one of us earns more than the other, but it's not a ridiculous amount more. It's we're pretty equal, you know, all things considered. So it depends on your relationship, but, you know, you have to have those boundaries, those understandings, like you would with anything. Boundaries with trust, boundaries with flirting, you know, boundaries with consuming pornographic material, like in these other episodes we talked about. I mean, do you feel it's a trust issue as well?
Yeah, and I think, just sitting here thinking about, I've never really given it much thought before, but, you know, we always talk, or people always talk about infidelity being the number one betrayal of trust. And I think actually it is, but I think other things can be closer than we can give them credit for,
mm-hmm.
like this, because, you know, like the ramifications can be massive, as we already said. And also, you're still telling someone, there's trust in more than one way here. You're saying, you can't trust me. I don't trust you potentially with, you know, with the goals that you've set, or, you know, and then it's the actions I take here are going to affect you for a long, long time, potentially forever, potentially having a direct impact on the quality of your life forever. Yeah, whereas infidelity can do all that too, but it's much more emotional. Do you know what I mean? Like, it can have a financial impact if it leads to divorce and you end up losing half your assets and things, but that's just emotional. And it doesn't always have to be like a deliberate, sinister thing. You know, there are people who have moments of weakness and they slip.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, I'm not saying that's a defense of it, but you know, you can't really have a slip with money to that degree.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I got drunk and I bankrupted us. You know, like, partly I'm sure that's because there are regulations in place. Like, we've all got a certain amount of credit limit and things like that. You know, it's harder to do that. But all I'm saying is this isn't to devalue infidelity. It's just to say that other things can be closer.
Or they can have, in some ways, as big of an effect on your life.
Or more.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, for sure. So it's a big issue of trust. And, you know, I think the thing here really is it comes back to what we say all the time, which is this is about communication. Because no one has to be perfect. And it's like anything. It's like, you know, if you're on a diet or something, you don't, very few people start that diet and then for the rest of their life are perfect with it.
Hmm.
You slip. And you fall off the wagon and you get back on and you learn from it and you say, okay, well, this is what I did wrong last time. I'm going to make these adjustments. And on you go. It's the same thing. But like, if you're not great with money, and really, you know, as a quick point on this, no one's really great with money because we're not properly educated on it. To be really good at money, you normally have to teach yourself or learn intentionally. You know, we don't really, or certainly when I went through school, we didn't learn about interest rates, even things like mortgages and credit cards and credit scores, like, which we all have, but just kind of expected to just get on with it. So to really be good with money is not something you're strictly, well, it's something you really probably have to learn independently.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is something, I wouldn't say we struggled with it, but it was definitely a learning curve. I mean, you went to work for a company that did financial things, and I think
before that money burned a hole in my pocket. And that job, this is why I say, like, you can change, because, you know, I still, my tendency is still to spend, but I'm much more like, well, let's get everything else in place first and I'll weigh it up. Do I really want that? You know, so, but the point I was going to say was about falling off the wagon. So this just comes down to that trust and communication, because it's okay to say, I slipped up. You know, I did buy this thing.
Yeah.
Not if you go out and buy a Ferrari, then it's a different conversation. But if you say, oh, you know, I bought this thing, it's whatever, then...
I slipped and bought a Ferrari. Can you imagine?
Yeah. Like, is it the consequences
it's one thing if you buy a nice watch or a handbag or something like that, but...
That's what I mean. If you go out and say, you know, and it all depends. The money's so relative that, you know, £50, $50 to a couple that's really struggling has the same impact as a few thousand dollars on couples that are much. So, like, the actual number's arbitrary. But the point is, if you've got these goals and it's kind of against what you typically, you know, what your typical habits and behaviours are with money, it's okay to slip up in the same way it's okay that you'll slip up on a diet or an exercise plan or anything else that's new. But the point is, you just come forward with it and say, do you know what? Look, I know we had this plan this month. I couldn't help it. I spent this or I couldn't spend this. Like, I know we had date night plan, but I can't spend that money. Like, whatever it is, you have the conversation, you bring it into the open and you readjust, you recalibrate for the next month. It's when it's done in secret, when it is festers, when it is done so the other person has no idea anything's happening. Everything's great. We've spoken about it. We're on track. 10 years later, it's like, oh, fuck, we've got no money.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of things here. So, first of all, yeah, totally human. And also having just simple little, I hesitate to say rules, because some people feel very hindered by that. Like, you have to go and seek permission from your partner. And I don't believe that. I do think maybe the word agreements is good here. We kind of have some unspoken agreements for both of us. If we intend to spend anything over, I'd say, £50, we tend to mention that to each other. Not for permission. Part of it is because sometimes it's for the house or it's something that we do together. Like, you might buy exercise equipment and sometimes that's something I will use. So you'll say, hey, I was thinking of getting this. Do you have any opinions on that? But, you know, we have our own separate spending money that, you know, we do joint savings, joint bills, and then we have a portion for each of us. This is fun money. I don't have to consult you about what I'm spending. We have an agreed amount. But what we do with that is really our decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that is in our kind of finance for couples episode. But if you just have an agreement, maybe one of you really does struggle to not spend a lot. And you say, hey, that's fine. Like, as long as you have put this much away for our bills and this much away for our savings, whatever else you want to do with it is really up to you. But say, if there's something you want to purchase over £100 or $100 or $75, whatever that limit is for you, that you guys are both comfortable with, say, maybe just mention it to me. And that's not necessarily to get permission, but you can help each other. You can say, oh yeah, sure, but remember your car registration is due next month. Like, are you cool for that? Or, and that's really all you, that's why we talk to each other about money, is just so that we know what's going on. It's not for permission. It's for just a general awareness of where we are with our finances. And when we have made big purchases, I like a certain brand of designer handbag. Rich likes, well, pretty much any nice guitar, not even particular brands. But we talk about those things because they're in the thousands or a thousand upwards usually, or several hundred. And we don't make those decisions without talking to each other. So that might be something that helps. Have a limit where you are, if there's an agreement, not a rule, an agreement in place that if you're planning to spend over that much, just mention it to your partner. And that can be for a variety of reasons. But one really practical thing is if you have any upcoming expenses that you both need to be aware of, can help you so that you're not then, oh shit, yeah, my car registration's due and I spent it on something for fun. The other thing about secrecy that I want to dig into, if you have joint accounts and you're like living together long term, or you're married and you have those joint accounts, the effort you'll have to go to hide it concerns me.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be creating a web of lies. Now, if you have your own, like we are, for our fun money that we have each month, we have our own cards, you know, separate accounts. I don't have access to Rich's. He doesn't have access to mine. That's not a trust issue. That's just the way we have it set up. So if I want to spend my whole monthly kind of fun money in one go, that's up to me. And Rich doesn't have to know about it. You probably would, because that would mean I'm spending more than 50 quid. So you'd want to know. But yeah, if you're going to be going in and taking money out of a joint account and maybe putting a completely fabricated reference on what that is, so you might say dog's insurance bill or food shopping money or gas in the car, but you're actually using that for a different purpose, that really is concerning. Because that is, it's like premeditated lying and really going over the top to create the situation where you can do what you want to do with that money. Now, if it's just, no, oh fuck yeah, I slipped, and what's this on the statement? It says you spent $600 at Louis Vuitton. Well, yeah, I bought a handbag. Kind of slipped. Okay. But if it's, whoa, there's $600. Oh yeah, I decided to make a payment on that other credit card that we've got. Oh, okay. By the way, you brought home a new Louis Vuitton. What's that about? You know, I mean,
yeah.
That is sinister. That is sinister. And it may not be sinister in the sense that you are trying to bring down your partner financially and ruin your investments and things like that. But it's sinister in that you had sneaky intentions, and that would devastate me. So it is a problem. Now, if you're finding one or both of you has these tendencies where you're tempted a lot, again, like you were saying, it just needs to be communication and just some simple ground rules to start. Because like you said, you can change, but not overnight. Like losing weight, for example, you can change, you can get in shape, but that is repeated actions daily. That's lowering your calorie intake, increasing how much you move, drinking more water, changing the types of foods you eat. It's not going to happen overnight. And that's the same with financial spending, whether that's spending more. Maybe you want to make your fun time more significant. Maybe it means increasing not just savings, but investments, whatever that is. I think it needs to be a program that you follow together, whatever that looks like. So I don't know. I just think that not all hope is lost. I don't necessarily think that if your partner makes a few slip-ups that it's time to call it quits. I don't think that even if they do a few deceiving things that that's time to call it quits. But it's time to take action and work together to fix it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else we need to cover?
I don't think so. I think, you know, like we said, the main takeaway from this is it can manifest itself in different ways. Take the time to really understand where it's coming from. Like, you know, everyone has a past and their own baggage, and that can really influence things like our attitude to money. So take time to understand, you know, yeah, their childhood was like this. This is how their parents taught them money was, whether they spend or save too much. And just get on the same page about what's important to you, what you're going to do, and then beyond that, communicate.
Yeah. And, you know, this is going to come in all shapes and sizes for different couples. And, again, it's not unforgivable. It comes in different degrees. But it's something that can't really be left. It's not just going to fix itself.
Yeah.
And I think we've all, both of us, we've been around relationships. We know people who struggle with this. And it can really affect your relationship if you don't find a way to work through it. And that doesn't mean you're both always on the same page, but you need to have something in place that's not a huge issue. But yeah. So in terms of inappropriateness, you know, it's the trust, it's the deception that could potentially be there, and it's the not working together. You know, I think we talked about this, like, God, we've talked about it a few times, but we both, well, I particularly like Dax Shepard's podcast. You've listened to it a few times and you like it, Armchair Expert. And a couple times he's had his wife, Kristen Bell, on. And something they said once that really resonated with me, and then I told you, and, you know, you thought about it a lot and you really liked it too, is when it comes to disagreements and arguing, and money can be a huge source of disagreements and arguing in a household. And not even because you're doing things differently, just because it's stressful. And unfortunately, money is required to have a comfortable life now in modern times. But something they said, and it wasn't necessarily in reference to money, just general disagreements and arguing, was everything changed when we acknowledge that we're on the same team here.
Yeah.
We are not working against each other. We are working together and for one another and for what we've created. And when you bring that back into the mix, when you're talking about finances, that this is something that's going to affect us both. I am not on team me. He is not on team him. We are on team us. And we need to both make the decisions that's going to improve us as a team. And once you start there, if one or both of you is having problems with sticking to your money goals and you feel that it's becoming inappropriate, start there and then think about what steps are going to make you a stronger unit of us rather than me versus you.
Yeah.
And that's really, that's all I, in the words of Forrest Gump, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Classic 90s film throwback for you. But if you have any questions, I mean, neither of us are financial experts, but as we've talked, well, Rich has worked in the finance field quite a lot. But in terms of finances as a couple, it's something we've worked through a lot. So if you have any questions, feel free to message us through our website, which is longdistancemarriage.com. You can find us on Instagram or Twitter at Mr. and Mrs. Distance. Or if you just search either for Long Distance to Marriage, you'll find it. And yeah, any other questions you have as well about anything, whether that's inappropriate behaviors, long distance, marriage relationships, you know, we'd love to talk about it all.
Yeah.
So we hope this helps if you're having problems, or we hope that even if you're not having problems, but you haven't set up any goals yet, that it prompts you to talk about that, because it's really helped us having common finance goals.
Yep.
So have a great week and thanks for listening, guys. Bye.